Chapter 20.
Seldom can one attain victory in warfare without allies. Some allies provide direct assistance, the two forces battling side by side. Other allies provide logistical support, whether weapons and combat equipment, or simply food and other life needs. Sometimes the most effective use of an ally is as a threat, his very presence creating a distraction or forcing the common enemy to deploy resources away from the main battlefront. But standing by an ally doesn't necessarily mean one will always agree with that ally, or with his goals or methods.
The Chimera's alarm had been muted by the time Eli reached the bridge.
Another day, he thought tiredly as he stepped out of the turbolift car. Another crisis.
Life under Commodore Thrawn's leadership was exciting enough, but there were times when the pursuit and capture of pirates and smugglers began to feel routine, and even a bit boring. Only today wasn't just another day, nor was it just another crisis. His first warning that something serious was going on was the group clustered around Thrawn beside the aft bridge hologram pod. Not only was Senior Comm Officer Lomar there, but also First Officer Karen Farrow and Stormtrooper Commander Ayer. Thrawn caught Eli's eye and beckoned him over.
Lieutenant Commander Vonto, he said gravely. Senior Lieutenant Lomar has just received a distress call from the troop transport Semper. The captain reports he's under attack.
Eli shot a look at the tactical display. If the positions and vectors were accurate, they were over 2 hours away from the scene.
I assume no one else is closer, sir?
No one with sufficient firepower.
Thrawn gestured to Lomar.
Senior Lieutenant.
The Semper has identified its attackers as the frigate Castellus and two squadrons of V-19 starfighters,
Lomar said.
There may be more. The attackers have jammers going, and the Semper's transmissions are spotty. I've got my people scrubbing and sifting the recordings now, so if there's anything else in there, we'll find it.
He threw a hooded look toward Thrawn.
His last transmission said he'd been breached and was being boarded.
The attacking ships were reported stolen 8 weeks ago,
Thrawn added. Eli frowned. There had been something in the Commodore's voice.
By Natswan?
Possibly, Thrawn said.
The scheme was quite inventive, which could indicate his hand in the planning. But whether or not he was behind the theft, I do not believe he's involved with this attack. Overly violent attacks are not his usual style.
Styles can change, Commodore,
Farrow said, her voice brisk and with a hint of impatience.
And with all due respect, I don't see how the ship's starting point matters right now as much as the fact that they're here and they're shooting at our people.
Eli winced. Commander Farrow had come with the Chimera, having served as first officer under the previous captain. She was never overtly insubordinate, but she was never far from that line either. Calling Thrawn's comments into question wasn't something a first officer was supposed to do, especially not in public. But Thrawn merely inclined his head to her.
We are already moving at the Chimera's greatest speed to assist, Commander, he said. And knowing their origin may enable us to anticipate their goals and future actions.
It's a troop carrier, sir,
Farrow said, the edge of impatience still there.
I think their goal is probably to kill some Imperial troops.
Perhaps, Thrawn said. Perhaps not.
He gestured to Ayer.
There seems to be something of a mystery about this particular transport.
Yes, sir, Ayer said, looking uncomfortably at Eli. As I told the Commodore, Commander Vonto, the Semper isn't carrying troops.
It's empty?
No, sir.
Eli flashed a look at each of the others.
Excuse me?
I can't say anything more, sir. To any of you,
Ayer added, looking even more uncomfortably at Thrawn.
Major Aya has received a direct communication from Coruscant, but is not at liberty to share the contents with us, Thrawn said. Our orders are to deliver him and his stormtroopers to the Semper while we deal with the attacking ships.
Understood, sir,
Eli said, an unpleasant feeling settling in between his shoulder blades. Secret communications that were outside the normal chain of command always made him nervous.
What if they need help aboard?
We won't, sir, Ayer assured him.
What if you do?
Eli repeated.
We won't, sir,
Ayer repeated. The apology was gone from his voice, his new tone making it clear that the subject was closed.
I can't say any more.
I'm sure we will be informed at the appropriate time, Thrawn said. Until then, our task is to reach the Semper before it is completely overwhelmed. Commander Pharaoh, you will run a complete check on the weapons and weapons crews. We are to be ready for combat the moment we reach the scene of the attack. Lieutenant Commander Vanto, contact engineering. If there is a way to increase the Chimera's speed, you will implement it.
One hour and 49 minutes later, the Chimera arrived. To find that all their orders were now irrelevant. The Semper drifted dead in space. Its crew lay scattered across the ship, all dead. The troop compartments were empty. The attacking ships, of course, were long gone.
Odd,
Vanto said, as he and Thrawn picked their way through one of the clusters of bodies. With the need for secrecy gone, whatever that secrecy had been about, Ayer had reluctantly permitted the two of them to join his stormtroopers as they finished sweeping the ship.
Blaster burns on some of the bodies, but not all of them.
Yes, I noticed that, Thrawn said. Several of the latter also have injuries to their heads and torsos.
As if they were physically hit, Vanto said.
He pointed at the blood marks on a nearby section of bulkhead.
And then we have those. Looks like most of the beating victims had their heads or bodies slammed against the walls and bulkheads.
Note, too, that some of the marks are higher than the victims are tall,
Thrawn said.
That mark in particular. Do you see a pattern in it?
Vanto stepped to the wall and looked up at the indicated mark.
His forehead wrinkles with thought. His fingers hover over the mark as if he is mentally tracing it.
More blood than most of them. Those smears look like they could be finger marks. Somebody writing in the blood?
Perhaps,
Thrawn said. The mark was blurred and seemed incomplete, as if the writer had been interrupted. Or perhaps it wasn't writing at all. Certainly it didn't look like any letter or combination of letters he was familiar with. Though if the writer had been injured, that might account for the distortion. But why would an injured person choose to write so high? And if it wasn't a word, or the beginning of a word, perhaps it was a symbol, or a glyph. He surveyed the crumpled bodies. As Vanto had noted, two had been killed by blasters, the rest beaten to death. None was tall enough to have easily made the mark. Vanto had come to the same conclusion.
I'd say this was made by either one of the attackers or one of the passengers.
Perhaps an examination of the troop quarters will tell us which,
Thrawn said.
Come.
A stormtrooper was standing guard at the hatchway leading to the troop quarters.
Sorry, sir,
the stormtrooper said.
His filtered voice is stiff and imperious.
No one is allowed inside.
I'm Commodore Thrawn, Thrawn said. I wish to enter.
I'm sorry, sir, but I have my orders.
I'm giving you new orders, stormtrooper, Thrawn said. The passengers are gone. The secrecy you order to maintain concerning the Semper is no longer an issue. Imperial officers and crew are dead. some of your own colleagues among them. Justice and retribution for the attack depend upon information. Some of that information lies behind you through that hatchway.
I'm sorry, sir, but I have my orders,
the stormtrooper said again.
His voice holds no recognition of the situation's urgency.
I'm your commander, stormtrooper, Thrawn said. You will step aside.
Vanto twitches at the sudden volume and vehemence. The stormtrooper likewise reacts with surprise. He hastily steps away from the hatchway.
Thank you, Thrawn said.
He and Vanto stepped inside.
You disapprove of my words and tone?
I don't disapprove of either, sir, Vanto said. I was just startled. I don't think I've ever heard you shout in anger before.
I was not angry, Thrawn said. Some people will not respond to reason. Others refuse to consider alternatives to their normal pattern of behavior. In such cases, an unexpected breaking of one's own patterns can be an effective tool. What do you see?
Vanto stepped to the center of the sleeping area. He turned his head slowly, his eyes lingering on the rows of three-tiered bunks.
Those aren't standard-sized racks. They're at least half a meter too long. And aren't standard troop carrier racks four-tiered instead of three?
Yes, Thrawn said. These quarters are clearly designed for large passengers.
Doesn't look temporary either, Vanto said. The racks are permanently bonded to the walls, deck, and ceiling. So what kind of passengers was the Sempra designed to?
His words stop. His eyes focus on the connection rings set into the walls beside two sets of racks. His fingers squeeze together with sudden tension. They weren't passengers, he said quietly. They were prisoners.
Not just prisoners, Thrawn said.
Slaves.
Pharaoh was waiting when Thrawn and Eli returned to the bridge.
Report, Commander, Thrawn ordered.
I have the analysis of the attack, Commodore,
Pharaoh said, pulling up a schematic on the sensor display.
Looks like the most damaging fire came from the V-19s. They took out the shield generators, hyperdrive, and sublights, with the frigate mostly serving as a distraction.
Not unexpected, Thrawn said. Established military doctrine.
He looked at Eli.
Nikki.
Mentally, Eli shook his head. All these years speaking basic, and there were still occasional words that escaped him.
Notwithstanding, he supplied.
Thrawn nodded his thanks.
Established doctrine notwithstanding, if a well-trained starfighter squadron can penetrate point defenses, it is often more effective in striking power than capital ships. Note that the deliberate destruction of the hyperdrive indicates that their goal was never to capture the ship for their own use.
They were here to free the slaves, Eli murmured.
Exactly, Thrawn said.
Was there anything to indicate the attacker's species of origin or training methods?
Nothing we spotted, sir,
Pharaoh said, frowning.
I'm not even sure how we go about determining that.
There are ways, Thrawn said. We will discuss them later.
He turned to Lomar.
Senior Lieutenant?
We've finished scrubbing the Sempra's audio, Lomar said. There are half a dozen species that could have made the sounds we pulled up, but only Wookiees match up to the size you described for the slaves.
Good.
Thrawn pulled out his datapad.
In that case, this blood mark can be interpreted as an emblem instead of writing. Very well. Commander Vanto, to the computer.
Yes, sir.
Eli sat down at the nearest terminal.
Ready.
The slaves will have come from Kashyyyk,
Thrawn said, his eyes narrowed as he scrolled through pages on his datapad.
where there will have been an off-world processing center to test for health and other qualifications before they were sent on to their final destination. Using Kashyyyk and our current position as endpoints, search for that center's likely location.
Unless they were in a hurry, there's no reason they had to come direct, Pharaoh pointed out. They could have been processed anywhere from here to Alderaan.
Haste is not so much an issue as efficiency, Commander, Thrawn said. If there has been a steady stream of such transports...
He paused, then continued scrolling.
At any rate, the Sempra was permanently altered to carry Wookiees or creatures of their same size. It seems reasonable that the processing center is equally permanent. Commander Vanto?
I've pulled up everything within a 90-degree double cone, sir, Eli reported. There are a lot of systems in there.
It will be a military base, Thrawn said, owned and operated solely by the Empire. It will be relatively isolated, closed to outside traffic, and with a higher level of imported material than the listed crew complement would suggest.
Why don't you just look for shipments of Wookiee food?
Pharaoh suggested.
I don't think there's anything special about Wookiee food, ma'am, Eli said as he continued keying in the parameters. Even if there were, the shipments would be disguised as machinery or other items. Not much use having a secret slave center if you're announcing to the galaxy that you're feeding a lot of extra mouths.
Precisely, Thrawn said.
He was still gazing at his datapad, Eli noted, but the rapid-fire scrolling had ended. He must have found what he was looking for.
There will also most likely be another Imperial base nearby. Less secretive, but larger and close enough to provide a rapid response if necessary.
Yes, sir. Eli keyed in the final parameters. And that gives us... Land's End 26. It's an old customs clearing station the Separatists took over during the war and converted into a staging area. The Empire took it back, but hasn't done much with it.
Until now,
Pharaoh murmured.
Do you think we should warn them that one of their transports got whacked, sir?
We will do more than that, Thrawn said. Signal the helm, Commander Vanto, to take us to Land's End 26 at all possible speed.
Yes, sir,
Eli said. He keyed the intercom and delivered the orders.
Why would the attackers head there, sir?
Pharaoh asked.
Wouldn't they be more likely to bypass the station and take the Wookiees to some refugee planet?
You assume they already have all the Wookiees that they want, Thrawn said.
You mean they think they're going to raid the station for more prisoners?
Pharaoh asked, frowning.
Consider, Commander, Thrawn said.
Eli hid a smile. He knew this tone.
Bringing the Semper out of hyperspace at the precise point where the attackers were waiting would have been nearly impossible without assistance,
Thrawn continued.
That assistance would have had to come from either Land's End or the Semper itself. Either way, the implication is that the attackers had an ally and saboteur aboard the station.
And if he's still there,
Pharaoh said, nodding, understanding.
Why not sabotage the station's defenses while he's at it?
Thrawn inclined his head to her.
Very good, Commander.
If they've got a saboteur aboard, shouldn't we warn them?
Lomar put in.
Either them or... Commander Vanto, was the Commodore right about there being another station nearby?
Yes,
Eli said.
Bakelic base. A 20-minute flight away.
We must maintain calm silence, Thrawn said. We do not wish to alert the raiders that we are in pursuit.
With all due respect, sir, this still sounds like a bit of a stretch,
Pharaoh said.
If someone sabotaged the Semper, there's a fair chance Land's End picked up the same distress call we did and has already figured out they have a problem. Hitting an unsuspecting transport is one thing. Hitting a station that's primed and ready is something else.
Agreed, Thrawn said. Nevertheless, I believe they will make the attempt.
Because they're crazy, idealistic meddlers, and that makes them suicidal?
No, Thrawn said. Because they told us they were.
Pharaoh shot a startled look at Eli.
They what?
The drawing left behind amid the bodies, Thrawn said. We know now that the slaves were Wookiees. The mark we found was a clan symbol, underscored by a mark indicating warning or defiance.
Eli winced as he saw where Thrawn was going.
And defiance results in vengeance? With tribal cultures like that of the Wookiees, very often, Thrawn confirmed. Even if there are no more Wookiees aboard the station to rescue, they will seek vengeance upon those who participated in the slaving. Since there is still the possibility that the station is unaware of their actions, they must attack as soon as possible.
Only Land's End might be ready for them, Eli pointed out.
We shall hope, Thrawn said. Regardless, I fully expect us to arrive in time to catch the attackers in the act.
Still no signals from the station, Vanto reported.
His voice is brisk with the anticipation of battle, his tone hinting of the swirl of possibilities and patterns within his mind.
Break out in 15 seconds. Weapon systems and crew standing ready,
Pharaoh said.
TIE squadrons ready to launch.
Signal to the Bakelec base standing by, Lomar said. Pre-recorded message loaded and ready.
A flicker of starlights, and the Chimera arrived. To find the battle had begun.
Base is under attack,
Vanto snapped.
Reading one frigate, 22 V-19 starfighters. Base's starboard laser cannon slagged and silenced. Portside weapons still firing.
Launch TIEs, Thrawn ordered.
Their first priority is to disable the frigate without destroying it. Signal Bakelec base, adding Commander Vanto's details to the alert. Signal Land's End and request status.
In many cases, an opponent's attack strategy betrayed his origin. Here, the battle had already devolved into chaos, with each attacking starfighter effectively its own strategist and tactician. But even in large-scale disorder, could be found local patterns and connections. Thrawn studied the B-19's movements, watching for repetition and predictability.
Chimera, this is Colonel Zenok.
The voice from the breach speaker is tense, but not panicked.
Welcome. Your timing is excellent.
Colonel, this is Commodore Thrawn,
Thrawn said.
You have a saboteur on your station.
Found her, disarmed her, and locked her up,
Zenok said.
Unfortunately, not before she disabled the long-range comm and shot off the starboard side defense systems. Bakelec base is supposed to be on call. Can you whistle them up for us?
I have already done so,
Thrawn said.
I need the schematics of your base.
Right,
Zenok said.
On their way. I'm including a real-time internal sensor feed.
Very good,
Thrawn said.
Commander Vanto?
Schematics and sensor feed coming up now, Vanto said. The schematics appeared, with moving dots indicating the positions of the attackers and defenders.
We've been breached from the starboard docking hatch,
Zenok continued.
So far we're holding, but we're being pushed back. It looks like they're trying to take down our portside defenses so that they can send in another boarding party from that end and catch us in a pincer.
My starfighters are engaging those attackers,
Thrawn said.
Commander Vanto?
Portside V-19 forces split,
Vanto reported.
Half turning to engage TIEs, half continuing attack on station defenses. Starboard V-19's turning to defend frigate.
Too late,
Pharaoh called.
Her voice holds grim satisfaction.
We've taken out the frigate's hyperdrive. Our visitors aren't going anywhere.
Order the TIEs to shift focus to the V-19s, Thrawn said.
The movements of the station personnel had now revealed a pattern.
Colonel Zenok, are any of your personnel in sections A4, A5, or B5?
No, sir.
Are any slaves in that area?
There was a short pause.
I'm not at liberty to discuss such matters, Commodore.
If you wish to save your station, Colonel, you will answer my question.
Another pause.
There are some non-military personnel in Section B5,
Zenok said.
Thank you, Thrawn said.
Pull all your personnel back to B8 and hold there.
To B8?
Zenok's voice holds confusion.
Yes, Thrawn said. Commander Pharaoh, I have marked 7 target points on the starboard part of the station. I require pinpoint accuracy from the turbo lasers. Can you do it?
Absolutely, Commodore, Pharaoh confirmed. Sending targets to gunners? Gunners, await your command.
Colonel Zenok.
We've pulled back,
Zenok said.
His voice still holds confusion. And now also wariness and distrust.
But this isn't a tenable position, sir. If we get pushed back any more, we're going to be in trouble.
You will not be pushed back,
Thrawn assured him.
Your battle is over. Turbo lasers, fire.
On the schematic, the 7 marked points flashed as hull plates disintegrated. Behind them, the sensors painted 4 of the internal sections bright red as the air within them boiled into space.
What the hell?
Zenok barked.
Chimera, did you just fire on us?
Yes,
Thrawn confirmed.
I believe you will now find your intruders trapped in their current positions.
Another pause.
I'll be roasted,
Zenok said.
The earlier wariness and confusion are gone. His voice now holds surprised understanding.
And B5?
Is intact, though it is now also isolated from the rest of the station, Thrawn said. We will continue the battle against the frigate and V-19s. I suggest you call on the intruders to surrender before you begin emergency access operations.
Yes, of course.
Zenok's voice holds relief, and even a small degree of humor.
Thank you, Commodore. Excellent work.
You are welcome, Colonel, Thrawn said. We will continue operations until the Bakelec reinforcements arrive. After that, we will leave you to deal with the prisoners while we retrieve the Semper and return it here. I presume you have orders that cover such contingencies?
We do,
Zenok said.
His voice sobers as the immediacy of the battle fades and he remembers the loss of the transport's crew.
We'll be ready when you return. And again, Commodore, thank you.
Commander Pharaoh, Thrawn said.
Enemy forces are down to the crippled frigate and 3 functioning V-19s,
Pharaoh reported.
I assume you'd like us to corral and capture the remaining fighters intact, if possible?
If possible, Thrawn said. If not, the Empire will have sufficient prisoners for interrogation among the rest of the survivors.
Yes, sir.
Vanto came up beside him.
Commodore?
He asked, his voice quiet and disturbed.
What are we going to do about the Wookiees?
We will leave them here.
Vanto is silent a moment. I'm not completely comfortable with the idea that the Empire is using slaves, sir.
Terms are not always as they seem, Commander,
Thrawn said.
They are called slaves, but they may in fact be indentured servants. They may be prisoners working off their sentence. They may have sold themselves into slavery as a means of repaying debts to others on their world. I have seen all those situations at times.
You really think any of those are likely?
No,
Thrawn said, his tone hardening.
But it does not matter. However these beings were pressed into service, they are now Imperial assets. They will be treated as such. Understood, Commodore.